place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Good morning, Chicago. It is the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Justin Coffin in for Steve as he is in Prague with the Blackhawks. Dave Ennett's here. G. Sokhi is here. Also, Mary Vandeville, Steve Grzanich. Everybody's in the building as we get ready for an awesome Friday show. Wow,
Woo, this Friday
is a lineup, you guys. This is crazy. There's so many great guests today.
Oh, I thought you just meant us being here.
Well, that's
I thought
a, that's
you meant
right.
this lineup.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah,
nice
this
to have
lineup.
You.
A treat to do radio with you guys.
I got my Hawks jersey on.
Yeah. You feeling good, Mary? You feel like this is going to be a Prague victory today?
Sure, why not?
All right, exciting.
You have a 50% chance of being right.
Yeah,
that's right. We got an awesome line. Marlon Wayans is going to be with us later in the show.
Yeah, really?
Live in studio.
Really nice guy and funny, of course.
So many great people. Lou's first call coming up here, 312-981-7200 if you got a question for Lou Manfredini. Also, Coach Colleton's going to join us. And, of course, a guest from Prague, Steve Cochran. Is going to call in.
Is he a guest on his own show?
He is.
Yeah,
what a novel concept.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really be a guest. It's called the Steve Cochran Show.
He's a featured guest today. Featuring is like in Saturday Night Live and like featuring Steve Cochran. He's like one of the
Just can't wait to hear about his flight after all talking we did on flying.
Can't wait. If the seat was tilted, there was a baby on board, maybe a dog.
I hope it went better than Adam Hogue's flight to London.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got delayed, missed his connection to Dublin, then they lost his bag. He made it.
Weren't they supposed to be on the same flight, though?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I remembered that.
This is poor Adam Hogue.
Well, you know what? We'll find that out today. Let's find out.
What was he doing in Ireland?
Well, he was going to London with the Bears.
My dream.
Well, I know, but the connection.
My dream would be if Steve had a comfort animal, and it was the horse therapy, like a therapy horse, the miniature therapy horse.
Or because it was a flight to Ireland, a sheep.
A little Sheltie dog. Yeah. All right, we got lots to do today. Like I said, Lou Manfredini coming up here, including Coach Colleton at 6:40. But right now, let's do top six at six.
Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
We had some political celebrities in the House yesterday in Evanston. Congressman Adam Schiff was in Evanston speaking at Northwestern last night. He said Congress needs to flesh out the facts quickly and that they don't want this inquiry to drag on forever when it comes to impeachment. He also said that the president's actions in Ukraine represent one of the most pernicious threats to our democracy. Only at Northwestern is he throwing in the word pernicious.
Are you going to get that? That's a 50-cent word.
Yeah. Whoa. Are you going to put work that into the game tomorrow, Dave?
Yes. Nebraska, let's see, on a pernicious drive here. How about that?
That's what I feel like. If it's any other school, he's down at Columbia College or something else, he'd be like, maybe I won't use pernicious. Maybe I'll just say evil or whatever. But he went with pernicious, which was a nice choice of words for the Northwestern fanfare. Next. Mayor Emanuel hiked Chicago property taxes to record levels during his tenure. He said it had to be done to pay down the pension debt. Well, the Tribune just investigated, and it looks like the opposite happened. Pension debt didn't go down. It's now worse than ever. Market factors, investors, blah, 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 blah. The worst part was that the biggest tax hikes were scheduled to take place after he left office, including another hike next year. And the new mayor has said hiking the property tax is still on the table.
Mm-hmm.
This on the heels of a new national report that says that Illinois is the least friendly state for taxes, especially for homeowners. What an amazing thing. Think about that story. That's why. Remember, it was shared sacrifice. 2 or 3 years ago, we're going to have to raise property taxes. I don't want to do it, but we got to tackle this debt. And it didn't work.
Yeah, and there's a new tax on water and sewer.
Right. And this is why when people say, you're going to raise my taxes again, you say you're going to do something positive with it, or you're going to pay down debt, and then it doesn't happen. This is why we don't trust politicians to follow through on those promises.
Is there any class action or anything we could do to say, I want that money back? If it didn't go to debt, right?
Where is it?
You know what?
Where is it?
Yeah.
You know what people are doing is they're just moving out They're moving away. Like I was in my Uber yesterday, and the guy was telling me how he's moving.
Oh, I know so many people going to Indiana.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Well, this is one of the reasons that you would do it, because they keep jacking up the property taxes. And I can understand if the goal is to get to a point where you need to fully fund or at least majority fund pensions that have been raided in the past. But for it not to work, to see in some parts of the city taxes go up double. And for it to be a miscalculation.
This is when
it's unacceptable.
This
right?
is when I feel pretty good about the fact that I'll probably never be a homeowner.
Yeah, and if your investments are not doing well, and so that's where you're losing ground, you need to find somebody new to do your investments.
Yeah, or be upfront and realize it's not a smart idea to say that we're going to fix the pensions with investments.
You would think with all the brilliant minds that we have.
Well, that's maybe they're not so brilliant.
But I mean, we need to. Right. What I'm saying is, we need to find consultants that can do this for us.
I feel like
with all the wonderful universities we have.
Yeah,
can't we
I feel
tap
like
into some of this brain power?
Advisors we have right now in the city are kind of like, the sports media, where they're like, no doubt the Rams are going to beat the Seahawks.
And they don't. Careful, like, Justin. You know, careful.
Dave is a sportscaster. There's a difference. But, you know, you go if you do anything on sports talk.
We've got some sports talk people today.
These are all coaches and broadcasters. But, you know, you'll go on any sports talk show and they'll talk about, like, who's going to win tomorrow or who's going to win on Sunday. And they're always wrong. And they're like, okay, is that the same with the financial investors we have in City Hall? It feels like the same.
Well.
Yeah. Mm. All right. It got me riled
Next.
Up.
Next. I'll say it for you.
Jury convicts Deroit Doty of acting as the gunman in the 2015 gang shooting of 9-year-old Tyshawn Lee. That came back pretty quick. Closing arguments were yesterday. The jury deliberated right at around 5 o'clock, and by 7:30, they had a verdict, guilty. And they're going to be, they were working on the other, there was the other, who was or the other guy who was actually like had orchestrated it or came up with the idea. So one of the most horrific crimes in recent memory, at least getting a part closure yesterday. Museum of Science and Industry changing its name to the Kenneth Griffin Museum of Science and Industry after the Chicago billionaire gave them $125 million. Are you going to call it that, Dave? You're going to call it the Kenneth Griffin Museum of Science and Industry?
That's what they are going to call it.
Is that what you're going to call it?
Is that what I'm going to call it?
Right, that's the question.
No, Dave and I are going to go with the Kenny G.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Science.
I was going to say, last night where you said the Griff.
Oh, the Griff.
Kenny G's better.
I was going to go KGMSI.
Yeah,
I like the Griff.
And this might be one of those things like the Willis Tower where people still call it the Sears Tower no matter
Agreed.
What.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, you guys want to go to see the U-boat tomorrow at the Griff? It totally rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. That's not bad.
It's not bad. How much is parking at the Griff? All right, next. Debris hit a pedestrian at the corner of Madison and Michigan
yesterday. I heard that last night, and I'm thinking, weren't we just having that conversation?
Talking about that.
We warned you not to go there.
Look up.
G said look up.
Be aware. I mean, this is the...
Isn't it amazing?
Don't look up.
You got
it's coming from above.
You have to be aware.
Yeah, but you're going to get right in the eye.
No, because you're going to see it. Your like spidey senses will see it, and you will outrun it.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
It also makes that sound from like the cartoons where it goes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Plunk.
I just was blown away that we were just having this conversation
Thank
about
you.
Ice and about concrete and debris, and then yesterday it happens. In the middle of at Madison in Michigan from the 9th floor. She's in stable condition at Mercy, by the way.
Oh, thank goodness she's okay. But I don't even like the mystery water that drips on me underneath the L tracks, okay? I don't know what's in that water. I don't
gross.
Know.
That's
it
gross.
Could be
That's
rainwater. I have no
water.
Idea.
It's like on Lower Wacker
right.
and stuff.
I don't want any of that. I have to immediately go home and shower.
Oh, well, I just find it hilarious. We were talking about it in the morning and it happened. And finally, the Blackhawks start their season today in Prague. We'll have it all day today. And, of course, the puck drops, what, at
1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, which would be, I believe, 8 o'clock in Prague.
Dun, 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 dun.
This is what a kickoff for the season to do this in Prague. But the Blackhawks, the prognosis here is that they have a better team than they did last year.
Yeah, no question. And, there's always a question until they play. But certainly, it looks better. But their division is very tough, and it's going to be a challenge for them. But I think that this is a better team. They're going to be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see how many people have planned their work day around being able to follow the Blackhawks in Prague today at 1 o'clock on a weekday.
I know I have.
There you go.
Yes.
Hockey's back,
that's
baby.
That's why I work early.
Right.
Just so that I am free for these games.
And we have a staff meeting in the middle of it.
Yeah, right. Maybe it's to watch the game. It could be. You never know.
Maybe they'll pizza.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, if you got a question for Lou Manfredini, now's the time to call 312-981-7200 to get you on the line. And Lou, if it's a home improvement question, something that's happening that you need some expert advice, Lou's your guy. 312-981-7200. Get on the line now. We'll get to Lou right after the break.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
Lou Manfredini joins us every Friday with Lou's first call. He's here. Lou, how are you, buddy?
It's me. It's Ernest T.
Hey, Lulu.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. This is, of course, sponsored by American Weathermakers. Always great to have Mr. Manfredini on the show.
What happened over there?
I hit the microphone with my coffee cup.
He had a hammer and he was taking a nail out of a board.
Big, heavy coffee cup.
Is it industrial strength? That's what I picture you.
It's a. Do any of you use the Yeti coffee cups?
I knew it. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew that's because you would have that manly.
Well, we sell them at our hardware store, and so you know, every time there's a new color, it's like I'm like people that buy different shoes. I'm like, ooh, I like that clay color. Clay's the hottest new color, by the way, in your Yeti coffee mug.
I just figured you would drink coffee out of, I don't know, like the container that the Thompson's Water Seal comes in or something.
You know, I still have downstairs in our basement, when I was a contractor, I had a Stanley coffee jug that I would take with me every day. I'd fill it up with coffee. Back then, I drank coffee black, and so it would last all day. It has a little silver cup at the top, and I would drink that all day, and that, I still have it. It must be 30 years old.
It's vintage. What does the inside of it look like?
It's kind of got a, you know, it's got a little dark tinge to it, Mare, but it's that's Mary. You like to cook, you know? Do you have a Le Creuset? You know, pan?
I don't like to cook, but
those get seasoned over.
They get seasoned.
Time.
Mary, I thought you liked to cook.
I like to bake.
Oh, you like to bake? Well, yeah, you know how you get that cast iron.
Well, I have the tea stain in my cup. My WGM. Oh, it's nasty. I can't get. That's a question. How do you get it out?
That's your question for today, Lou.
Yeah, I use vinegar and baking soda.
No,
and blow it up.
You forget
like
it. You need to buy a new one.
It's a beautiful patina.
It's a WGM vintage.
Yeah. I have. Do you have vintage cups like that?
Yes, I do. Yeah. It's awesome. Marlene gave it to me one time.
I have a, you know what I just found at my house? I have a, because I'm fortunate enough to be on the Today Show, and I have a vintage Today Show mug that has the cut, it says the Today Show on it, and it has the New York skyline, and it has the Twin Towers in the background.
Oh, oh boy.
I know, and I still use that cup.
I'm crying now, Lou. Thank you.
Very
Thank
sweet.
You. Yeah. There you go.
Very sweet.
All right, let's bring in our first caller, today. Of course, Lou's first call, sponsored by American Weathermakers. Let's bring in Frank from Naperville. Frank, you're on the line with Lou. What's your question?
Hey, good morning, skinny Lou.
Good morning.
Hey, I have a house that I recently moved into. It's 40 years old. I have one water heater. It's 2.5 bath. And one bathroom has rust around the drain that I have to, like, clean with Comet about once every week to 10 days. Mm. And the other shower has no rust issues. And I'm trying to, it's one water heater throughout the house. And I'm trying to figure out why one bathroom would do it, but the other one wouldn't.
Well, there's a couple. There could be a myriad of reasons. If it's a 40-year-old home, there's a chance. Well, let me ask you before I say that. Do you know if you have copper piping or do you have any galvanized piping?
Well, we are new to the home, so it's hard to say, but I know it was built in 76.
Okay. Well, that's more than likely copper, but there could be on that spout, okay, that comes out of the tub. That could be one where it has, on the end of the valve where it's in the wall, they use a little galvanized pipe nipple on the end of that that could be what the spout is connected to. And so you may have copper valves and copper piping, but then a lot of times plumbers will just use this little piece of galvanized. They'll screw it on the end, and then they'll put the they'll screw on the spout. And you could be getting a little reaction from that galvanized, the tip end of that, that's giving you the rust. And so my first thing that I would do is I'd remove the spout and see if, in fact, you have that little galvanized tailpiece coming out of there. Yeah. And if so, replace it with a little piece of copper and put a new spout on.
All right. There you go. Good job.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Stay on the line and get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men, visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Lou Manfredini, are you on tomorrow? Does the Northwestern Wildcats bump you?
No, they don't start at 7.
No, we're
later tomorrow. I don't know if there's tailgate.
Actually,
you know?
No, I'm on tomorrow. I'm heading to, this morning, I'm flying out to Los Angeles. We have a daughter that lives out in Los Angeles, and so I'm going to be doing the show from Los Angeles very early in the morning.
Cool.
But we'll be on the air tomorrow, and we're talking with an inventor, a local inventor, at 8:30 in the morning that invented this new item for framing a house to keep the bounce out of your floor. It's called bridging, but it's a metal bridging. And it's a cool, he's like one of these guys that was a builder forever, and like you're like, huh, I wonder if I could come up with, and I love to talk to people like that.
All right,
so.
Sounds good. We'll catch you tomorrow morning. Lou, thanks for joining us.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, and of course, we got more to come, including Coach Colleton, who's coming up after the news, so stay with us. Can you believe it? It is Blackhawks season as it begins today in Prague. How about it? Dave, are you excited? I mean, do opening days across sport, any sport, they get you excited?
Oh, yeah. Very excited. Yeah. I can't wait to get, the preseason just seems like it was longer this year. And even though they played a bunch of games in a condensed period of time. So, yeah, let's get started.
And what a way to start in Prague. And right now in Prague, the coach, Jeremy Colleton, is there, and he is ready to join us on the phone. Coach Colleton, thanks for joining us. How are you enjoying Prague?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Great.
Great to talk with you, yeah.
Good. Yeah, we're ready to get at her. been a preseason's important and training camp's important, but everyone wants to play real games, so everyone's excited.
How important was it for you to have a training camp and a preseason where it's all yours? Because you came in halfway through the season last year. Well, how important was it to set the tone on who the Blackhawks are going to be this year?
Yeah, I think every team, that's where you set sort of the standard that you expect throughout the year and get everyone on the same page. And we have some new players who we wanted to integrate into the team, both, on and off the ice. So it's been really good. And, I think when you look at the practice time you get during the year, most of it happens in September. after that, it's there's typically one or two stretches where you can practice consistently, but if you don't make use of your time in September, you're really behind the eight ball. So we've been really focused on making use of that time, and I think we're pretty prepared.
And Jeremy, this team has come a long way from where it was a year ago. The expectations have been raised, and I know as a coach that's something you welcome, right? But do you think the expectations for this team are right on target, realistic? What are your expectations? Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what they are on the outside, but I think inside we definitely want to be in the playoffs. Ultimately, in order to have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, you got to be in the playoffs. So we're really focused on that. And as far as, the weight of expectations or what they do, I think that's important. The group just worries about the next game. Ultimately we're going to add it all up at the end and see where we fit in. Just worry about having good performances. And, we want to have a high standard every day. We're going to, that's what we expect from ourselves. And then, I think if we bring that, then the results are going to come and we'll meet those expectations.
How much do you look to the guys who have been through it the longest with this team,
right,
your core guys, to kind of set that standard and help your younger guys meet those expectations?
Yeah, well, they lead our team for sure. They've been there and they know what it feels like to win. They know how rewarding it is. It's a lot of work. It's not easy. That's why, it can wear you down, but now they've been away from it and everyone, that's that feeling you're addicted to, that group doing everything that it takes, they do whatever it takes to win and then to finally have that success. But it's important to have guys who have tasted it before, because they can help speed up the process with our new guys, with our young players. So we're real lucky in that regard.
So, Coach, you've got two very high-quality goalies this season. How is that going to affect your game-end decisions?
Well, we're very fortunate that no matter who we put out there, we expect to get a good performance. And I think when you look around the league, the teams that have had success in the playoffs, for the most part, it's not one guy playing 65, 70 games and then keeping the ball come playoff time. There's a share, you know, they keep things fresh. Ultimately, you know, there's going to be some competition, and the guy who's performing better will get more of the starts, but there's definitely going to be, they're going to share the load, and I think that long-term can only benefit us.
Yeah. You know, I got to ask you, you know, obviously off-season for you, did you get new wardrobe? Are you looking good this for Prague? You got a good tie selection? You're looking good? I mean, we're going to get to see the coach as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to look in my bag, see what I got. But, you know, ultimately, we're all excited for game one, right? Everyone brings their A game. Like, they're excited. So I expect the players will be bringing their best as well.
How's the ice there?
Yeah, it's a little warm in the rink, but, you know, yeah, it's been a bit chopped up. I thought it was better this morning. And that's kind of to be expected. Like, I don't think anyone's surprised that the ice wasn't perfect. And it's been getting better every day. And, you know, both teams are playing on the same sheet. So,
yeah,
right. We'll adapt. We'll adapt to the conditions. If it's getting chopped up, then maybe we got to chip a few more pucks and play a simpler game. And that's just, hey, we can't be stubborn. It's all about getting the result.
You know, Coach, there's one thing about starting the season and getting amped up and all the energy that goes into that for the players and for the coaching staff. But you add on top of it that you're opening in Prague and you're making this is a big event. Do you have to temper the emotions with the team or maybe coach differently that you're on this different ice and you're doing things differently to start the season?
I think we use the excitement to our advantage. It's for our team, I think it's a net benefit to be over here and get them together and you know, team building wise, it's going to be really a positive for us. We're playing on a, you know, we had the game on the big ice in Berlin, but right. We're, you know, the sheet tonight is NHL size. There's a little bit of a, you know, first game, we've got a couple Czech guys who are really excited to play. And all you say to them is, hey, listen, just play your game. Don't try to win the game on one shift. Use the energy in a positive way. Use the energy for things that, you know, whether it's a forecheck, you know, playing with pace, really skating, tracking back, win your 50-50s. What you don't want to do is do too much, and then, you know, things go against you. You know, we'll manage that energy in the right way, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, speaking of energy, have you been running into a lot of awesome Blackhawks fans and maybe one super zealous fan doing too much by the name of Steve Cochran?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't seen him. I'm a little worried about him, actually. Maybe we just don't go to the same places. We can go to the same spots. But I'm sure he's having a good time. You know, there are a lot of Blackhawks fans here, which is it's great. Shows, you know, the reach of our team and fun to have that support. And, you know, it's a great city to visit and should be a lot of energy in the rink. So we're looking forward for that.
All right.
Anything you can tell us about your lineup for today?
Yeah. So Crawford's going to start in goal. And DeHaan's out. Gilbert will be in.
Okay.
So that's probably the highlights or the things that people are probably most wondering about, the question marks maybe.
And DeHaan is close, right? I mean, this was kind of coming up to day of. He's still recovering.
Yeah, he's close. He's been practicing full contact with us for a bunch of days in a row. It's just, it's 82-game season. We don't want to risk anything by having him play now before he's totally ready. If he were totally 100%, he'd be in. But we just felt like it wasn't time yet.
All right, Coach, go get that W today in Prague. Tonight for you, but for here it's today. And the Chicago Blackhawks kicking off their season. Thanks, Coach Colleton, for joining us on the Steve Cochran Show. Appreciate it.
Thanks again. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks. There you go. How about it? Yeah!
He's fired up.
Also, I mean, we've interviewed the coach many a times. So he's getting into the nitty-gritty there. Did you hear that? We've got track back, winner 50-50s.
Hockey, he's getting into hockey. I didn't understand that word he was saying. I'm like, what?
Yeah, bring back the Hawktionary.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Hawkopedia that we used to
do. It has to be exciting for him to see all the fans that go out there.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, that's a long way to travel.
Where did he coach in Europe, didn't he? He's got a little bit of European Sweden. Background. Yeah, so he's got he understands a little bit about the European culture when it comes to hockey, but I would assume, you know, bringing the Blackhawks over to Prague is a whole new thing.
And the Blackhawks, Marian Hossa was there yesterday. The Blackhawks have a couple of Czech players, natives on their roster, Kubalik and Kampf. And so it's, you know, it's kind of cool for those guys, too.
Yeah, and you know, if Kampf gets out there, the first thing he's going to do is just like, I'm going for the net. And that's what the coach is saying. Everyone chill. You're not going to win this thing just by yourself. But I would assume you'd be jacked up to play in front of your country.
I would think so.
I hope those guys get to go home for dinner.
Yeah.
Czech guys.
A home-cooked meal.
Yeah.
All right. More to come here on the Steve Cochran Show, including tickets to give away to the home opener. We're going to do that coming up here right after the break.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Like I said, we got tickets to give away the Chicago Blackhawks home opener. How about that? Woo! That's coming up
Thursday.
Thursday. How about that?
San Jose Sharks.
The Sharks are in town.
Are the Sharks That's really good this year?
Sharks should be good.
Yeah.
Sharks should be good.
Aren't they always good? Aren't they a team that's always good?
They have been pretty good. Yeah.
See, right. I knew that.
There you go. Let's do this.
Lost their captain during the offseason.
Oh. Let's go a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks home opener on Thursday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online, FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com. All right. Let's take a... So Patrick Kane is 88, right? So 88, yes. 8 plus 8 is 16. And let's divide that by 2.
Oh,
so let's
goodness.
Go ahead with the eighth caller. What do you think?
Wow.
Or you could just take 88 and divide it by 11.
We could do that, too. So there's a lot of different math options to get to the eighth caller is going to get you tickets.
A lot
right
of
now.
Math.
I just want you to explain your methodology.
I don't do long form. I don't show my math. 312-981-7200. Eighth caller is going to get those tickets.
Well, you know, when it comes to math, Dave is the whiz, you know.
Yeah.
The whiz here.
He has to be because there's so much, like if there's a 10-yard holding penalty, if it's in basketball and a team is down 8 and they hit a 3-point, there's all sorts of math that goes into sports, right?
You Never have to be a strong suit for me.
You have to do it on the fly.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I can tell you if a play goes from the 48-yard line to the goal line, then it's a 52-yard play.
See?
So that I can do on the fly.
You wouldn't know
but
that.
But if it goes to the 5, if it goes to the 5, I got problems.
Then you go.
I don't even have good depth perception.
That's when you go to Hogue on the sideline.
How
long was that? But you have to know. That's the thing. If all these kids are listening right now and they're like, I don't want to do my math homework.
Right.
Math is a big part of sports, and Dave Ennett lives and dies by short form math in his head.
I do. Just wish I could figure out how much money I got in my bank account.
That's a different class.
Yes,
That's a different part of the brain. All right, coming up, Coach Fitz is going to join us to talk about the big game at Northwestern. We're also going to pay attention to the story that Steve Rodanich just had about the Legionnaires disease. A kid tested positive for Legionnaires in the Western Suburban. Was it a high school, Steve, or was it a grade school?
It was a school employee in Northwest Indiana at some of the schools over in Northwest Indiana.
Got it, sorry. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, that's a big story. I mean, obviously, they're going to shut down a lot of schools around that because that's communicable. That's a disease that's in the air, right? I mean, if somebody has it, you can pass that on pretty quick.
Yeah, or the water or something like that,
Yeah. All right, so we'll pay attention to that. That's happening in Northwest Indiana this morning. We got lots to do today. Like I said, Fitz is coming up, and we're also going to have Hamp talk about the Bears in London, the Mack attack, and whether or not Khalil Mack is taking it personal. How about that? The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In for Steve, who's in Prague. He's going to join us next hour to update us on his trip to see the Blackhawks open in Prague. Right now, let's talk about Northwestern football. The Wildcats go to Nebraska Play the Cornhuskers tomorrow. Big game for Northwestern to get back on track. I'm excited. You excited, Dave?
I'm very excited. I did look into whether I could get from Prague to Lincoln. It was not possible. I mean, maybe if I had a week, I could have done
it. Well, let's bring in Coach Fitz. He's on the line right now. Coach, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. There's times this year I wish I was in Prague, too, but I'm glad to be going to Lincoln. I'll tell you that right now.
You know, the Cornhuskers started off, it looked almost like, uh-oh, this might be a Big Ten contender. They've stumbled a little bit. Are you surprised by that? Are you looking at what Nebraska has this year?
Well, they're an outstanding football team, and Coach Frost has done a great job, you know, Adrian Martinez is one of the most dynamic electric quarterbacks in our league, if not the country. So, had a tough game last week against the Buckeyes, but you got to tip your hat to Ohio State. I mean, they played as clean of a game as I've seen on tape in a long time.
Really?
So, we know we're going to get the Cornhuskers' best shot. They invited us for homecoming. So we appreciate the invite to the dance, and hopefully we completely ruin it.
I was trying to explain to G about the atmosphere in Lincoln. How do you describe it, and how do you prepare your players for it?
Well, it's as good as there is in college football. You know, Memorial Stadium is one of those cathedrals of college ball, and the entire state supports, the Cornhuskers. This isn't just Lincoln's Big Ten team. This is the state of Nebraska's Big Ten team. And they're just the nicest people you'll ever meet. I think it's a Jedi mind trick. I think they try to kill you with kindness so they can kill you on the field, you know. And they're just unbelievable. Win or lose, rain or shine, those fans are in Lincoln. They travel everywhere, every stadium that the Cornhuskers play in. They buy up every available ticket. They buy season tickets on the road. It's just an amazing fan base. And so with that comes just a great atmosphere. We're very fortunate to have Ryan Fieldhouse. And when we're practicing on Wilson Field, the sound system that we put in there in the Ryan Fieldhouse is deafening. And, so I thought we handled the noise last week at Camp Randall well. That wasn't the issue, but it's definitely up a few decibels in Lincoln.
You know, Coach, let me ask you, when you started the season, you had, high expectations for all phases of the game. Now that you're a little bit into the season and looking at the offense and the defense, where do you think the most improvement needs to happen? Where did you think you had this is going to be great and it hasn't actually come to fruition yet?
Well, I just put on my Captain Obvious hat right now, and obviously offensively we've got to carry our own weight. You know, we've turned the ball over, which is not part of our DNA, and it is a program, and it is not part of our keys to success and understanding how you win football games in this league. And so that's the number one thing that has to get fixed. It has to get fixed right away. And then the death blow that we've given our team is not only have we turned the ball over, we've turned the ball over for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that has not given our football team an opportunity to win. So we've got to get that corrected. We've got to play cleaner offensively, taking care of the ball. It's fundamental execution. It's play execution. It's penalty avoidance. And it's quarterback play. And those things have got to improve. They don't have to go from, where we're at right now to unbelievable. We just have to play the way we're capable of. And that's what we're working diligently to coach our guys to do. But very pleased with the way our defense is playing right now. Our special teams have been solid, not spectacular. And that's got to take the next step here as we go over the next eight. We got a lot of ball ahead of us, but the sense of urgency has to be at the highest level it's been. Our guys had a really good week, but now we're playing a team kind of like us that kind of feels like we gave a game away a week ago. They feel the same way. So it should be a heck of a game tomorrow afternoon.
And of course, you've played them into overtime the last 2 years, and you've won both those games. I think the stress level for your fans, not to mention your broadcasters, has probably been a little higher, but as long as you get that outcome, you're okay with that. I know. Do you feel like the offense began to make some progress getting the ball in the end zone a couple times in the fourth quarter last week?
Yeah, I do, Dave. I think that the guys just started to trust themselves and play, and we're just grinding on that side right now. We've got We got a lot of guys that, you know, when they come off, it's just coach the heck out of them on the boundary. Every play is an opportunity to build their confidence and help them execute cleaner. Completely different on the other side of the ball. Our defense has got some swagger. They think they're pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. A little bit more veteran on that side of the ball, and it shows. And we've just got to play, you know, as we've typically done here, we've typically played very complimentary football, and it really comes down to the quarterback taking care of the ball.
So,
and that's ultimately what we got to get fixed.
So, Coach, this is G. This could be a very dumb question that I could be asking right now. But you were talking.
Never.
You're very kind. But you're talking about the sense of urgency in terms of what the team needs to do. When you're making your remarks to them, your pep talk, your speech before the game, like, when do you have an idea of what you're going to tell the team? And I'm sure you've got to change that every week, right?
Yeah, you know, usually I just go on YouTube and watch what Mike Leach says, and I say usually 180 degrees opposite my research. Exactly. really, it's day by day. Yes, this is what, year 14, Dave, right?
Right.
I think year one, year two, I try to script everything out. You know, proud Northwestern alum, School of Education and Social Policy, LOC major, which it's called now. I'm a very organized, attention to detail guy, and so I felt like, you know, I'm going to write every pregame speech out over the summer, and then, you know, it took like one game, and the rest of the games didn't matter anymore. So, you know, I really rely heavily upon our players. I meet with our leadership council on Mondays, our captains on Wednesdays. We staff meet every day. I want to make sure that I've got the pulse and the heartbeat of the team. And then I try to encapsulate kind of where we need to go and what we need to do each day and each moment. And, you know, I really think, you know, when we've really been humming as a program, I don't really have to say a lot. The team's got great ownership of the locker room and of the attitude of the team. You know, this year has been a little bit more me, and that's why I think it shows the inconsistency. I'm not down on our leadership. I'm just down on a little bit the consistency of some of our guys, and that's on me. Well, I've got to get them going, and that's what we're working on diligently.
Coach, when you look at the beginning of the year and you look at the schedule on the offseason, I mean, you're in murderer's row right here. Michigan State is ranked, obviously last week in Wisconsin, who's top 10 team, and Nebraska, which could be ranked as well with a couple of bounces of the ball. Ohio State next week, Iowa, who's having a resurgence of a season. The Big Ten is strong this year. Is it stronger than you thought it was going to be when you look at this run? I mean, these are you're playing ranked teams every week.
No, I it's not. I'm just disappointed we're not one of those ranked teams. You know, I look at where we're at as a program, and I love our guys, and I love where we're at as a program. Right now, this team, though, we've got to do the things that Northwestern football teams have done to win games. And we're going to work our butt off to get there. I can't control the other teams. We expect them all to be ranked, all to be really good, incredibly talented and well-coached. That's why you choose to come to Northwestern and play Big Ten football. You want to compete against the best. That's why I love my job. I feel like each week we got to compete against the best coaches and the best talent. And you know, a year ago we were able to get ourselves to where we want to be. And right now as we sit here, a handful of games into the season, everything that we have as far as goals, we can control. We've just got to handle our business, and we got to play Northwestern football. And we get there, I feel like we're going to get the thing turned around. And love the guys dearly. It's a great group. It's one of my favorite groups of young men. I've just got to get them to play more consistently.
Well, it's the next couple weeks for Northwestern football is must watch. Of course, playing in Lincoln this weekend, at home against Ohio State, and at home against Iowa. Get a win in Lincoln, Coach, and we say go Cats, and thanks for joining us on the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I appreciate you guys as always, and I hope Steve is. What's the soup du jour in Prague? I mean, what's the?
All we've heard is goulash, right? Goulash, G.
Goulash. Mm-hmm.
Is goulash fit into Steve's diet?
We hope so.
Yeah, but we can't find Steve, right?
We can't find him.
We can't find him.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure they have beer too there in Prague. So.
They do.
Well, I appreciate everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll get the win for you, and we'll talk soon. Go
All right.
Cats.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Fitzgerald, of course, the man who is going to lead the Cats tomorrow in a win in Lincoln. Dave Ennett on the call. What time is the
pregame? 2:30 kickoff. 3 o'clock Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. He's right about the fans.
Yeah, I was going to say, the atmosphere. They're kind, they're nice, but the atmosphere, it's homecoming. Do you notice when you go into play, when Northwestern goes into play a homecoming game at another school, do you as the announcer notice it's a little bit more feverish and crazy?
You know where I'll notice it? In the hotel, because invariably there'll be some reunion groups that will be in our hotel. Now, I don't know if that'll happen today in Lincoln or not, but then I always go back to the front desk and I say, hey, can you get me away from the alumni party down the hall?
You should do, like Harry Carey style, you should do the broadcast live from the student section.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I mean, you got to prep for every game you call too, right? Like, how many hours of prep do you put in?
That's a lot of hours.
Wow, you're super.
It's all the pronunciations. He's got to know all the Cornhuskers linebackers' names, right?
Dedicated Dave.
We try.
All right. We'll continue here on the Steve Cochran Show. Coming up, we're going to talk with Hamp about the Bears in London. A lot of sports this morning. And also, Marlon Wayans is going to be here in studio. We'll have that coming up a little bit later in the program.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Cochran Show here. Justin Coffin in for Steve. Coming up, Steve Cochran's going to join us from Prague. How about that? Find out what he's been eating.
Goulash.
How he's been sleeping.
Not
how the
well.
Flight was.
Baby next to him.
He was really worried about that, huh?
Well, I think because we were talking about whether or not you could recline your seat. He is of the opinion you do not recline your seat,
right.
No matter what.
I agree with him. I know that obviously it's chain reaction when people do it in front of you, but I will go out of my way to not recline because of my.
I
want to live
tall,
in a civil society.
You know, I think a bigger problem than reclining your seat is when you get up and you sit back down. Don't like jostle the seat, because if you have a cup of coffee on the tray behind it, and then all of a sudden, takes a little bit of motion in those chairs.
Or sometimes if the seat is leaning back, people will use that to kind of leverage themselves up, and then you can catapult the person in the seat.
Yeah.
out of it.
Last night we talked about this on Extension 720. We did a whole segment about aviation and the airline industry. But one of the things we didn't get to was the FAA is looking into the seat size. This week, finally decided that the airlines were taking advantage. Well, the airlines have been taking advantage. They said in the mid-80s, the seat, I think it was 21 inches, was a seat on an airplane.
Okay.
And over time, in the last 20, 30 years, now it's 16. And they have, so there is proof that the airline industry has been shrinking these seats to try and get more seats in so they can make as much money as possible. The FAA is looking at that to say they're opening up an investigation to see if they have to, as a federal government, essentially have guidelines to say you can't go under 19 inches or something like that. Because as Americans get bigger, the seats are getting small.
Well, how tall are you, Justin?
I'm 6 foot.
Okay.
Well, 6'1".
I don't know why you appear taller to me, but for tall people, I think it's also a pain too, because
for those of us who are
Dave, especially you.
David Schaefer joined me last night. He covers airlines for NPR, but he was talking about how these tariffs for the European Union. They went to the WTO, and America has been doing this for a while, the U.S. The government lobbies the WTO to say it's unfair. Airbus is getting all these deals, and Boeing is not, and the European air makers are getting so much more tax incentives. So they're leveling the playing field. That's what these tariffs are about when it comes to French wine and cheese and everything that happened yesterday, including airline parts. And so what he told us is that now that cost is going to be so much more to make an airplane, and they're going
to
pass that on
the
industry to consumers. So you're going to see airline tickets go up. That's why the stocks went down yesterday on all of the airline industries, because it's just inevitable that all the airlines are going to go, you know what? We wouldn't absorb that tariff. gee, you're absorbing that tariff. You're going to pay $25, $30 more.
I mean, I'm already going to pay a lot more for my cheese and wine because I can't live without it.
And the other thing, too, is people don't realize Airbus has plants here in the United States.
Right.
And, you know, you hit Airbus really hard, and those plants could end up losing jobs.
And you know what David said, too, last night is that the European Union has the same beef with Boeing. So we have a beef with Airbus because they get the deals, but Boeing gets the deals here. So he wouldn't be surprised in the next session that you'll see Boeing actually, the tariffs on Boeing. So it doesn't matter across the board, consumers are screwed.
The worst thing, though, the worst thing is that it's just flying has become such a miserable experience.
Right.
And it's really dictated by class and whether you can afford, you know, to pay for all the upgrades that makes it remotely comfortable for you to fly.
It really is.
It's another class issue. You know, it's like a huge, you know, it's like it's not fun, especially for people that have kids or, you know, it's not easy.
There has been and you know this, Steve, because I know you talk about aviation all the time on the opening bell, but there is there's somewhat of a slowdown. You're starting to see that the aviation industry as a whole, less consumers, people are deciding maybe they don't want to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, they nickel and dime even more.
Oh,
they want to get all the money they can out of the consumer.
Budget,
so you're going to see that as well.
What budget airline I flew once, and you couldn't even take a carry-on. Like, they charged you
That's
for a carry-on,
and
they charged you
if you have a bag in the overhead. Mm-hmm. That's what he said is going to be adopted, is that if you just, even a bag of carry-on to put in the overhead bin will cost money.
Yeah, you're probably talking about Spirit Airlines, the nickel and dime.
But they're going to do that. That's going to be adopted in the future by all airlines.
Because by the time I ended up paying for everything I needed to pay for my upgrades, I was like, oh, I could have just had a regular flight.
That's the idea, right? That's how they get you. All right, coming up, Dan Hampton's going to join us to talk about the Bears in London against the Raiders and whether or not Khalil Mack single-handedly is going to sack every single Oakland Raider he can in record fashion. We'll find out about the motivation of Khalil Mack coming up with Dan Hampton right after the news.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Hamp, of course, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, joins us here on the Steve Cochran Show regularly. Always great to hear Hamp talk about what's going to happen Sunday, especially in London, Dave. That's going to be... Whew.
They're there. They got to London during our overnight hours.
So they're ready to go.
They landed, and they'll rest a little and practice later.
Hamp, good to talk to you.
Hey, crikey. It's on. They're... Mac the Ripper is back in town, right? And I got to tell you, I was thinking about this. You know, the subplot to this game is, I mean, it's almost too good to be true. Remember, we got Khalil Mack because Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, thinks that John Gruden is going to redefine pro football, so he has to sign him to a $100 million deal. So he put his money up to get the coach, and then when it came time for the players, Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack didn't have no money left, so he had to trade them away. And whether or not Khalil Mack is harboring any ill will, we don't really know. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing to be in Chicago playing defense, as you know, most of the people across the country realize at some point. There's a reason why they call it the Monsters of the Midway. This is where it's supposed to happen, and I think he's happy. But, you know, it's always nice to take a shot at the guys that basically thought you were expendable. So it'll be fun watching Khalil Mack in this one.
This is where defense was invented, after all. Chicago.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But, okay. But see, here's the thing with Mack, Hamp. I know he's got some extra motivation for this game. I mean, he kind of acknowledged that. But can he possibly treat the Raiders any worse than he treats anybody else?
He's an equal opportunity disruptor. He does it on a daily and weekly basis. I'll be honest with you. If I'm the Oakland Raiders, I make sure I got two hats on it. And say, hey, if we lose, it's going to be because somebody else. Can't let Khalil Mack wreck us. We'll see. You know, we're looking at, you know, these so-called geniuses getting paid a lot of money to come up with game plans. And I see them trying to block Khalil Mack with, you know, tight ends. You know, skinny tight ends, not good ones. And at some point, it makes you scratch your head and say, what are they thinking? But Yeah, the one thing about our defense is it's not a one-man crew. It's a pretty deep bunch. And now with Akeem Hicks out, he may play. We don't know. But, hey, Nick Williams and Roy Robertson-Harris and Eddie Goldman and the rest of them, you didn't even miss a beat. So Khalil Mack is a great player, but there's some other guys playing great football, too.
Hey, by the way, you didn't mention Roquan Smith either, and I guess we'll find out today. He's there, but I guess we'll find out if he's going to play. So after the Super Bowl in 85, you guys went and played your first game, if I recall, in the preseason in London the following summer against the Dallas Cowboys. What do you remember about that trip?
That's funny. Yesterday I was addressing a group out in Naperville, and my phone pings, you know, while I'm talking, and I look at it, and it's a picture of Walter Payton talking with Phil Collins. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Phil Collins at the time, 1986, he was like, you know, I could hear it coming in the air at night. I mean, all these number one hits. And then we're practicing over in England. And here's the thing. There's no real facility. I remember when we got to London, Dick just says, go put all your stuff in the room, check in, and we're going to meet in this park across the street. And he ran us in the ground. And I found out later it was where Sir Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, that's where they used to joust in this park that Dick had tried to kill us in. But you know, we were practicing, and it was like in somebody's backyard. You know, there was no sleds, no lines on the ground. I mean, it's just we're out there running around in the grass. And Phil Collins, he brings his kid in. I'll text you the picture in a moment. But you know, it was kind of one of those. But see, it's different because preseason, you really don't count.
Yeah,
we wanted to win, and I think we did, and beat the Cowboys. We always beat the Cowboys, but this is a game that's obviously, you know, counts and it means something. So the guys can't be as they can't be out having as much fun as we did because I think I gained about 10 pounds from all the, the beverages over in England because it's a lot different.
And they're only there really for 3 days, so you know, I mean, it's a quick
trip. Yeah, they're only there for 3 days. But the one thing I remember is, it was like 65 degrees. That was like the summer. And it was different. And obviously you're thinking, you know, downtown Chicago, you know, an old building is 150 years old. Over there, it's 1,500 years old. So, yeah, it was remarkable. I remember going to the Palladium, drove around and saw some of the sights. And, you know, we had some big guys, but, we did stick out. I remember seeing a picture of Fridge with the Buckingham Palace guards on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That was a contrast. But all in all, hey, it was fun. We were there, and these guys, the same thing. They're going to go over and take a look around, but I think they'll be, you know, ready to go. And again, the Oakland Raiders are desperate, you know, to try to find a way to win, and there's a reason why we're favored. We're a lot better team. We should win.
Yeah, there's some strategy at play here, of course, Sam. When the Raiders have been in London since earlier in the week, Nagy decided to bring the Bears later. That's what he did with the Chiefs when he was a coordinator there. What do you think about it? Do you have to worry about jet lag getting to London to play this game so late in the week?
No, and it's better because, hey, you know, idle hands is the devil's workshop, and, you know, if you get there, I don't know if you realize this. The Raiders played their opener at Oakland Alameda, and then they've been on the road, and then they came and played Indianapolis, and instead of flying back to Oakland, they went on over to England. And so they've been over there all week. And it's amazing they haven't had a bunch of, so-called incidents, you know, during the course of the week. And then they get a week off. They won't play their next home game in Oakland Alameda Coliseum until November 1st.
Wow.
I've never heard of such nonsense. It's 47 days or something that they will have played at other venues without playing an actual home game. There's technically the home game in this one, but it's only in, you know, it's meaningless because both teams are on the road. So anyway, but I don't care. That's their problem. And the Bears, they're going to go over. It's like a business trip. Hey, we'll knock the dust off. We'll get a good night's sleep. We'll show up. We'll kick you in the head. And then we're going to get on the plane and come back.
All right, so let me ask you this. So you have Chase Daniel, who's going to be starting for the Bears. Mitch Trubisky's out. The question for you, as a player who played with a lot of backup quarterbacks, McMahon was out a lot when you guys were on top, and whether it was Fuller or Tomczak or whoever, Harbaugh, whatever it is, do you change the way you,
Flutie.
Do you change the way you approach the game on the defensive side of the ball because you know that you have a backup quarterback who's starting?
Absolutely. And you know, I know a lot of people don't want to hear about it, but that had a change in the dynamic of the game last week. Chase Daniel knows how to run this offense. He is able to execute the reads and deliverance of the ball. I mean, that's what a quarterback technically is. And here we're, 11 minutes into our conversation before anybody brings up the fact Trubisky's not playing.
Right.
I got to tell you guys, and see, if I'm Mitchell Trubisky, all offseason, you know, everybody was all hyped and the team was going to be the Super Bowl favorite and all this and that, and Trubisky was going to be much improved. And again, I got to say it, the coach did him no favors not playing him in the preseason. I mean, if my wife, you know, if I had her work at a sawmill, do you think I'm going to turn on the 7-foot blade and have her putting her hands in there? Or do you think I'm going to let her kind of figure it out first and kind of let her, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. Just throwing the kid out there, on Thursday night, national TV, and he kind of goes into a little bit of shock and starts making bad decisions, bad reads, and they just compound themselves. So at the end of the day, yes, it does change the way a defense looks at your team. A lot of those defensive linemen, they're going to bull rush more, and they're going to get their hands up and try to knock the balls down because the kid's short. You know, he's 5'11 or something like that. I mean, yes, it changes. They're not going to worry about loose and contain because he doesn't have the skills that Trubisky does to get out of the pocket. But when it's all stripped away, the offense is based on the execution of the quarterback, and it will operate better until Trubisky, you know, kind of figures it out with Chase Daniel at the controls.
All right, Hamp, what do you think? You got a prediction for what's going to happen in London on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the Raiders are, you know, vagabonds. They haven't been home in 3 weeks. Are you kidding me? They're wearing the same underwear for the last 5 days. This is going to be a blowout, 30-3.
That's great. What do you think, Dave?
I had it 30-17.
Wow.
But I think now that Hap adds that little illustrative point to it about the underwear, I might make it 30-3. I'm going to stick with 30-17.
Super Joe, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I got a blowout too. 34-10. I'm not sure how the Raiders hang with the Bears.
All right, gee, you got a score for us?
Sure. I'm going to say 40-12.
40-12, Viv? You feeling a prediction?
I'm going to say 45-5.
Right, there you go. 45-5. I'll take a 23-6. I think it'll be all maybe even a shutout, but I don't know if they're going to put that many points up. But Hamp, always great to talk to you. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. You're the best, and can't wait to hear you guys after the game.
And by the way, knowing your wife, I have a feeling she would never work in a sawmill.
No, I'm just saying you don't throw somebody into something dangerous without giving them some adequate time to prepare.
Thanks, Hamp.
Now, if she's a sawmill, I find my can in there all the time. All right, go Bears.
Go Bears. See ya. And you got to listen to must listen to radio with Hamp, OB, and Kaz after the game, of course, on Sunday. All right, we'll take a break here.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, coming up, Steve Cochran's going to join us on his program. Special guest Steve Cochran on the Steve Cochran Show from Prague. He'll join us as well. Dean Richards, of course, will review the movie Joker. Larry Potash is going to join us, talk about backstory. And Marlon Wayans is going to be in studio along with Tiffany Luis as well. Yeah. We got a lot still to do here on the program. And I think it was last week you guys had Sister Donna on. Sister Donna, or a couple weeks ago.
She was our most valuable person on the planet.
Right. And she works with mothers, young mothers, and women who have lost children to violence. And not only that.
Yeah, I mean, she does a lot of other...
She does a lot of other things. But they're having, it's the Precious Blood Ministries, mm-hmm. and they're at 51st and Elizabeth. They're having a big... this Sunday, they're doing Mass at 11:30, and they're having a party afterwards. And I know... we want to just remind people you can go down there, pbmr.org. I'm actually doing a big special on Back of the Yards and Precious Blood Ministries on Extension 720 next week.
Are you?
That's fascinating. Yeah, Pete and I went down to Precious Blood and mm-hmm. to the Institute for Nonviolence mm-hmm. and other places that are right there at 51st Street and talked. We were there all summer and collected a bunch of stories and
That's
really wanted
great,
to...
Justin.
To tell the story of Chicago violence from the neighborhood up, as opposed to from here down.
Yeah, from the people that live it every day.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we talked to a lot of moms, and it's not just, what I want to make clear is that what Precious Blood does, it's not just about women who've lost children to violence. Mm-hmm. They do circles and other
connecting
moments. Yeah. But it'll be women who lost sons to violence. Violence that has been perpetrated on them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, which I think is one of the parts that we really honed in on, is the sometimes the shame and the embarrassment and the isolation that comes with being a mother of someone who actually did the violence.
Perpetuate, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone who might be incarcerated or who, you know, they didn't recognize was involved in gang activity and then their kid came home and the cops were there and they now feel like they're isolated from society. So Sister Donna and company, they help recognize that, you know, it's not your fault and you need to tell your story.
Well, the ripple effects of violence, not only it shatters so many families and not only families, but societies and infrastructure. And when we talked to her, it was great that she was saying that she was developing these circles for people to share and connect. And these relationships lasted a lifetime.
Yeah. So check that out. That's all that information is at PBMR, and we're going to be doing that special next Friday. It'll be on Extension 720 on October 11th. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss me good.
All right, time for more on entertainment with Dean Richards joining us, as he does every day at 8 o'clock. And, Steve Cochran's going to join us coming up right after the break. Dean, you get to talk to him about Eastern European entertainment.
This is our first intercontinental moron entertainment.
I love it.
We're going global today.
Will there be subtitles? I think there will be.
I think most days we need subtitles. Most days people don't understand what the hell we're talking about.
Because we're going to catch up with Steve here, we'll try to get right to the headline stuff here so we can have some fun with Steve and get a real true moron entertainment vibe coming up after the break. But let's get right into it. The Joker, the review, we've been talking about this all week.
Yeah.
You said this is the hardest review you've had to write.
I'm conflicted about it. I gave it a Dean's List A, as far as movie making, as far as acting, as far as all the nuts and bolts of a phenomenal movie. It's got it all. But there is a disturbing element about the movie, and I think it's because of the timing and the world in which we live.
Yeah, right.
While this movie is coming out, where here you have a central figure in a movie who is mentally deranged. He lives in his own reality. The way he resolves conflict in his life is with violence, gun violence. And it's a story, sadly, that we hear all the time now in public places. It's the backstory to how the Joker came to be from the Batman movie. This is not a Batman movie, but there are plenty of hints. If you're a fan of the franchise, there are plenty of things that you'll recognize that are, you know, telling you this is the guy who will become the Joker that we know from the comic books, TV show, and the movies. But it's a mentally, clinically mentally ill man who loses his mental health counseling. He loses his mental health drugs that he takes. Also, very much what's happening in the real world, and can't deal with ridicule, can't deal when people make fun of him, can't deal with any sort of conflict. And the way that he resolves that is with violence. Been plenty of violent movies, movies much more violent than this. But there's something about the tone of this movie that is so dark and so sulking, in addition to the fact that its timing in this world in which we live right now just left me. I was wrung out when I got out of this movie. I was exhausted. I was depressed because I thought about these poor families that we've seen on the news.
Yeah.
The parents whose children were murdered. People who went to a church and got murdered. People who went to a movie and got murdered. People who went to concerts and got murdered because somebody was living in their own reality, and this is how they decided to resolve conflict. It's very similar to what's going on in this movie. I don't know if it's going to spark violence, but it definitely validates
it. They're paying attention to that. You know, Texter said this yesterday, and I thought about this all night, but, you know, with Batman movies, when you're dealing with villains like the Joker, obviously the Joker is an evil villain, one of the most notorious in all of comic books, and this isn't new, when you know his sort of fascination with being psychotic and using gun violence. But there was always Batman in the movie to be the superhero, to be the protag, to essentially save us from that chaos. And Batman is not in this film.
Yeah, and you know, not only is Bruce Wayne, a young Bruce Wayne, a little boy Bruce Wayne, is in this movie, but no, you're right, no counter to the pure evil and mentally disturbed individual that we see in this movie. And you know, also the way this movie ends, I don't want to give anything away, but it almost says that violence works. You know, I think that's what disturbed me.
If you take it out of the time we're living, where we've seen senseless gun violence, and really just this has become the one of the biggest plagues in our modern society. If you take it out of that, and you say this is just a piece of art, and it doesn't have to reflect what's happening in the world, is it a great movie?
It's a great movie. It's beautifully made. It's a beautifully made movie. Joaquin Phoenix definitely is going to be nominated for an Academy Award. He might win it. He lost 50 pounds for the role. You know, usually when you lose that much weight, you're guaranteed to win.
At least a nomination.
Win the award if you go through that kind of sacrifice. What he puts into this performance is amazing, as does Frances Gilroy, who plays his mother in the movie, as does Robert De Niro, who plays Johnny Carson-like TV talk show host, who, this Arthur Fleck, the Joker character, admires on television because he also wants to be a comedian. He wants to bring laughter to the world. De Niro is also great in the movie. But, I guess in a different time, you know, this applies to really to all movies. When someone goes in to see a movie, the way they will react to this movie is based on what's going on in their world at that time, whether you're a critic or you're not a critic. If you just had a fight with your wife and you go to see a movie, you're probably not going to react the same way. If you just got fired, if you've got something terrible going on in your life, you're probably not going to react the same way as if everything was going great in your life. And I think this movie happens to be set in this time.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you can take it out of that context. But as far as pure movie making, it's phenomenal, and that's why I gave it Dean's List Day.
Dean, it's interesting because art is always a reflection of what's happening in society, and we'll have great art that'll be on the walls of museums or in our movie theaters or our television programs that do such things, that they take the issues that we're grappling with society and give hypothetical answers or hypothetical solutions or expose more of it. So doesn't this fall in that same category? Isn't that this be a kind of holding up a mirror to society and how society sort of views gun violence?
Yeah, very definitely. I mean, the argument can be made that, you know, this movie is out there. I don't know if that's the reason this movie was made, but the argument could be made that this movie holds up a mirror to these introverted people who can't deal with reality and react with violence. Here is a person like that. We're showing you who that person is. Here is somebody whose mental health that mental health facilities were shut down, and help for a person like that is no longer available. Shines a mirror like that. Shines a mirror on a society that admires and worships this kind of anarchy. Holds a mirror up on that. So, I mean, the argument can be made that it's showing all that.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you how I reacted.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it's, you know, maybe people will come out and go, wow, that's a reflection of what's going on in the world. You know, me, I came out of it and going, wow, that's a reflection of what's going on in the world.
That's right.
where does the train stop next? I'll get off.
All right. Dean Richards, giving the review to The Joker, one of the hardest things he's ever had to write. There are other films coming out.
Just on the other hand, real quickly, because I know you want to get to Steve, but if you want to just laugh like crazy, Eddie Murphy's new movie, Dolomite Is My Name. It's a real-life story of a black exploitation star, comedy and movie star from the 70s. This movie was made for Eddie Murphy's talents.
Oh, awesome.
It's so funny. It's on in select theaters right now, and then it's coming to Netflix October 25th. I gave that a Dean's List.
I love it. Anything Eddie Murphy. Go Eddie Murphy. All right. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and Steve Cochran will join us from Prague. More on entertainment international. That's coming up here on the Steve Cochran Show.
The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show. Cochran Show. Cochran Show. Cochran Show. Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
It is the Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin in for Steve today, but fear not, the King of Goulash, the Goulash King of Chicago, joins us on the line. Steve Cochran is in Prague with the Blackhawks, and I hope it's going well. We haven't heard from you, and everybody is worried that you had a terrible flight.
No, the flight was fine, but the goulash isn't settling with me.
Good to hear from you. Good to have you on the program, your program. Dean Richards is here as well for an international Moron Entertainment.
Steve, all I can say to you is, vise zabave.
Boy, you got a curse. I mean, you know, cursing
is...
you know what? You're a big mise zabave.
Translated back into English, more on entertainment.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Dean and Destin, you'll be very pleased to know that we have three tour groups here, about 150 people, and one in each group is called Me a Moron, but no one has officially thanked me for Moron Entertainment yet. I have a feeling it's coming at any moment.
Yeah. That's the beautiful part. We never really know if people are acknowledging this segment or they're really calling us a moron.
There's something special about being in another country and being called a moron. First in English, and who knows how many times I've been sort of called that in other languages. Certainly, the waiters and waitresses have called me that here.
I love that. Moron Entertainment.
Been walking all over Prague.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful, beautiful city, and been walking all over the place. I did a scouting run because they're going to storm the castle, the famous castle, here tomorrow. Frankly, their security doesn't look like much. I like our chances. We're walking down one of the main tourist streets here, minding our own business, and guess who walks out of a little mini-mart? Coach Colleton.
Yeah.
Coach Colleton. Yeah, a couple of million people walking around here, and we bump into the coach.
I love it. How about that?
He didn't mention that.
Yeah, he said he couldn't find you.
He said he couldn't find you.
Maybe he thought you were someone else.
Like two hours?
Yeah,
2 hours
ago.
Yeah, no, this is in the last hour. He did say I was just... He did say I was just talking about you, but he didn't say to you guys. So I figured he was complaining to his wife.
How's the food? How's everything there? I mean, have you adapted? Are you feeling very Prague-ish right now?
Yeah, I got a little Prague on me. I'm not going to deny it. It's really an incredibly beautiful city. The whole thing. My sister mentioned this. My sister travels all over. And she said it's Disney-like, and I didn't get it until we, walked 4 or 5 miles today. And the whole city looks like a Disney backdrop.
Wow!
The buildings, the color of the buildings, and the streets, the winding streets. It looks like there's nothing to but a front to these things, and it's the end scene in a Mel Brooks movie. There's your Blazing Saddles reference.
So, Steve, ahoy, Bobette. This is G. Have you been practicing your Czech? I want to know if Vera's going to be proud of you.
They have found me adorably cute at this point. I say something in Czech, and they smile, and then they correct me. and then they pat me on the head. So, yeah, I'm getting mine. And by the way, ahoy, Bobettes, that means you just said, hi, idiot.
She knows that. So when you walk down these beautiful streets that, you know, look like a backlot on a movie set, are they charming and old school, or is it like Starbucks, Gap, Subway, Kentucky Fried Chicken, like that?
They do have a love for KFC here, which amuses me. There's a lot of those. But no, there's the mandatory Starbucks on every other corner. But other than that, it's all very, very local. Including something called the Sex Machines Museum, which we walked by. I said we walked by.
Stop in and bring us some souvenirs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine their gift shop? but the game itself, there's tons of Blackhawks fans here. I mean, everywhere you go, you see the red sweater, the Indian head logo. And there's four knuckleheads with Flyers orange and white on creamsicle pants.
Yeah, I know.
But the Blackhawk colors far outnumber the Flyers here.
What about Gritty, the Flyers mascot? Have you seen him?
No, but what's funny is there's a thing called Wentzless Square here, which, by the way, isn't a square. And they have giant, Dean knows this from Times Square, in Hollywood as well. They have giant pandas and white polar bears running around to take pictures with people. I can tell you, pandas and polar bears are not native to Prague.
But very photogenic, though.
Yeah, and, you know, they'd like some of your money. But the whole money thing is interesting. It's 1,000 crowns, 1,000 krona is, I hope I got the math right on this, 47 cents. So my wallet is kind of thick as we're trying to figure out what to spend here.
Steve, how's the gift buying going, buddy?
Well, you know, all I remember from souvenirs is G's demand for garnets and other garnet requests on the show. But wasn't there a baby Jesus statue of some sort? Who wanted that? Was that Bridget?
Yes, that was from Bridget.
Yeah, you got to find one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would like, if you can fit it in your carry-on on the way back, I would like a suit of armor.
Fantastic. I mean, that's not hard.
Okay.
Completely fine. And by the way, I recommend the Charles Bridge. When you come over, it's about a mile long, and every language on earth is spoken on it, and I think they're all saying, get the hell out of my way.
I was going to say, are you moseying on that bridge? You might be walking too slow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the only way I walk, as you know, G.
Steve, the game's coming up here. You got a prediction on what you think tonight? Or I guess it's tonight for you, but for today?
Yeah, it's a Hawks win. I like 4-2. Coach says the boys are all healthy. They've had a good week. They sold out. Pardon me. They sold out practice yesterday at this giant O2 arena. Nothing new for crazed fans for the Blackhawks, but the city itself is very excited.
Yeah, you could tell that everybody's excited. The NHL's there.
Were you able to get tickets?
No, I can't go in.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean I'm just going to be outside.
Well, Steve, we're looking forward to seeing you on the Jumbotron today when we watch the game. When you grab attention with
when they do the parking
dance.
Lot crowd shot, that's going to be you.
Everybody is really happy that you are souvenir shopping and you're bringing stuff back, and we're excited to hear more.
Justin, I noticed you didn't ask for anything.
No, I'm good, man. Just hearing your voice is souvenir enough, buddy.
All right, then something from the Sex Machines Museum.
I'll do that. Steve Cochran is in Prague at the Blackhawks game, which, of course, the puck drops, what do you say, 1 o'clock today, Dave?
1 o'clock our time, yes.
Steve, great to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of the week and weekend, and go Hawks.
Vise Ozabes, eh? Yeah.
Miss you.
What was that?
Yeah, and Bobettes to all of you. Bye, G.
Bye, miss you, Bobette. Bye.
All right, there you go. Steve Cochran calling into the Steve Cochran Show. Dean, thanks for joining us, and
more
have a great weekend,
more
buddy.
More Entertainment International.
There it is.
Concludes our broadcast day today.
There it is.
Have a good weekend,
everybody. See you on Monday. All right, how about that? The Steve Cochran Show rolling along here. Coming up, Larry Potash is going to join us. We'll take our break here, come back, and get the headlines. Stay with us.
The backstory is just the beginning.
Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve. Of course, Steve is in Prague with the Blackhawks. We just heard from him. Coming up a little bit later in the program, Marlon Wayans will be in studio. The Wayans brother. Very excited to have him here. It's always a delight when he comes in and complete. He's like a Tasmanian devil. He comes in here and it's like a tornado. He just is. He has
so much
electric.
Energy. Energy, and he's amazing. Yeah, he's always comes ready to like play, and you know.
Hopefully, he's not too tired. You know, I feel like you look up at every screen and he's on it doing bits in different places.
I don't think he ever runs out of energy.
There you go. All right, we'll ask him his secret. Larry Potash is joining us now. Backstory is back for season 4. It's going to be starting tomorrow night, Saturday at 10 o'clock. Larry, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, so Backstory is your, I mean, this is really your baby. We've talked about it before, and obviously it's really getting deeper on some of the stories that you don't get a chance to do from the news desk. What's special about season 4 that we need to know?
Well, I took a trip back to Boston where I grew up going on field trips to the Witch Museum and the Plymouth Plantation and, of course, all the revolutionary sites. And you realize some of the stuff you learned was wrong. And some places the trolley doesn't take you. So I try to tackle those issues in the Salem Witch Trials, which is the episode before Halloween. That's one of them. And in my hometown, which is next to Salem, it was a hotbed for 19th century spiritualism where they had the Ouija boards and the talking to the dead and that whole thing. And it's just this crazy story that involves a guy who wanted to build this robot to give birth to the second Messiah. And like stuff you can't believe is real.
Awesome.
And that's what I love about history is some of the stories, if you made it up, people would say you're lying, but these are true stories.
It sounds super cultish.
It is. There's a dark, I guess I'm drawn to some of the darker edges of history because sometimes those are the ones that, where there's a lot of murkiness where myths get told. And so I try to go, I've never spent more time at the library, even when I was in school, to try and, you know, get to the bottom of some of this stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of darkness, especially in the witch trials. It's a very depressing read. So if you watch my 8-minute piece, it'll save you the time and depression of reading a book on the Salem witches.
Larry, when you're coming up with the stories to go deep and you know, to be a part of Backstory, what's the thought? Are you looking for personal connections? Is it based on curiosity? What's the criteria for a story to make it to Backstory?
Well, it's a little bit of everything, but I guess as I do a little bit of research, if something jumps out and surprises me, then I open that door and kind of go down that road, because I think, you know, everybody can give you one Wikipedia line on any element of history. Mm-hmm. But what I normally do is when I think I have something that's new and surprising, I'll run it by people in the newsroom and say, hey, have you ever heard this? Do you know this? And everybody says no. So I say, oh, you know what? That's probably a good sign that I'm on the right track to do a story about this.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot. I mean, obviously, you're returning to your hometown in Massachusetts, but there's a lot of Chicago-based stories as well. The one that grabbed my attention, just the thinking about the Cold War relics in this town. I've done a couple of those kind of stories, but there are old missile silos and other Cold War relics that are right under our nose that we don't even pay attention to.
Right. One of my friends, just in passing, mentioned that to me. And I thought, well, you know, maybe everybody in Chicago knows this already. And that's one of those instances where I asked around and people didn't. Maybe a certain generation does. But, I had driven by this one missile silo many, many times. Didn't even know it was there. In fact, the people who work, you know, 50 yards from it didn't know what it was. And so we went to go see where they were, and we went inside one of them, and it's just pretty cool to see how far we've come from the Cold War and what they're doing with these sites now. One of them is like a paintball, you know, war battle zone.
That's awesome. Right. Well, it also, because I think Backstory has done such a good job of it in the three previous seasons of looking at some of the Chicago history stories or stuff around here that gets covered up or you know, is obvious in plain view, but no one is really paying attention to what here was there before. And that's a big, I don't think that gets enough attention. I always love those kind of stories, and I think you do them great.
Well, thank you. And in fact, that sort of hits on the very first episode and the first story
where this salvage guy went into this house and realizes his competition beat him to it. It's all the good stuff. So he goes up to the attic and sees a bump in the insulation, and he opens it, and there's a bunch of broken glass. And he puts it together, and they reveal pictures of this famous family that have connections to this political assassination and a conversation with Hitler. That's a story that is not in any history book.
Right.
And this guy went in looking to make money, and he came out with a very valuable story, and I'm very excited about that piece of Chicago history coming Saturday night.
So how in the world did you find out about him and hear about what happened to him?
Well, I don't want to reveal all my secrets of where I got that story, but I will tell you that somebody else had done a story with him, and he wasn't, I guess, crazy about how it was done. And we went in and said, well, what else can I do here? And, you know, we did what we did, and that'll be on Saturday night. Another story with a lot of surprises in it.
Yeah. Larry, how do you find time in the day to do that? As a morning anchor, you know, on one of the best morning shows in the history of Chicago, and that is a slog to be able to do that for the hours that you do it. Where do you find time to go deep on other stories?
At home. I've been working a lot later than I used to before this show. And I guess at the time when I said, hey, I'd really like to do this, I didn't realize how much work it would be. It wouldn't be a lot of work if I just wanted to throw some junk on the air. Once you get in it, you want to do it right and you want to do it well. And so that ended up taking a lot more time than I ever thought. And I spend a lot of time at home, and my wife complains I got to go over the living room. So it's nonstop. It's like the mail. It just keeps going.
Larry Potash, one of Chicago's very own, of course, at WGN-TV, one of the morning news anchors. And Backstory is his passion project, and it airs season 4 coming up here tomorrow night, Saturday at 10 o'clock. It's a great show and a great addition to the Chicago media landscape. Larry Potash, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Take care. Have a great weekend.
There you go. It's Larry Potash. Love that guy. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, let's give away some Hawks tickets. How about that, huh?
We're feeling it.
We're getting closer to the puck drop, which is this afternoon, and the first game in Prague. So let's give away some tickets to the home opener.
Yeah, yeah. These won't be for Prague, but for the home opener, you said, right?
Yeah, this
too
won't be
to,
for Prague.
Yeah, too late to fly somebody in right now.
It's tickets for today's game, and you just got to get on a flight at 1 o'clock.
We're putting you on a supersonic jet. Yeah,
there's a lot of math involved and some layovers, but you'll probably make it by
we're good
third
at math,
period,
you know?
Right? Right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right. Yes, there's your music. 312-981-7200. Let's give away some tickets for the home opener against the San Jose Sharks. That's what a shark sounds like. I don't
really?
I'm never underwater with them, so I don't know what they sound like. They're like, 312-981-7200. What caller? Okay, so Jonathan Taze.
Are you going to do mathematical
equation? Let's figure this out. So Taze is 19, mm-hmm. right? So 1 plus 9 is 20. And 20 divided by 2 is 10. And 10 is the hour that we get off the air, which is in an hour. So that's 1. So let's go 9th caller. 312-981-7200. 9th caller.
Wow, that made no sense.
Oh, it made all the sense in the world. What are you talking about? You can follow. Everyone follow.
I didn't follow. I didn't refresh my algebra.
312-981-7200. Yeah, so... And the tickets, of course, given from Four Seasons Air Conditioning and Heating and Air Conditioning. Thanks for the tickets. And we're going to be giving away tickets the entire day today.
Yeah.
John Williams has got them.
Rokan,
Bill and Wendy, everybody.
Anna.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we'll be giving away those tickets. Let me do this real quick so I give Four Seasons the proper Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Like I said, Bill and Wendy, John Williams, The Rokan Show with Anna DeVolantes. They're going to have Blackhawks tickets from Four Seasons for the home opener all day today. How about that? To celebrate the Blackhawks starting. So are you a Blackhawks fan, right?
I'm a huge Blackhawks fan. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of the hockey, the rules per se, but I mean, it's one of my favorite, you know, sports to watch. I love watching. I can barely, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm so amazed by the players, the coaches, the announcers. Like, how do they follow the puck? It moves so fast.
And going to the United Center is an amazing experience to watch
the
Blackhawks.
And the Blackhawks fans are the best, too. So
I took my friend who is a hockey fan, but he grew up in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And so hockey to him was always a dip, because they didn't have Columbus at that time. And so hockey to him was something that he would watch from afar on TV. And he had been to a couple games. I think he was a New Jersey guy, so he'd been to the Devils game a couple times. I took him to the Blackhawks last year. He couldn't believe the intro, the way they used ice, everything about it, the experience,
the energy
and the experience of seeing a Blackhawks game at the United Center. He's like the best in any sport he's ever seen.
What did he think about the national anthem?
He was unbelievable.
Else.
He looked at
did
me
he
he's like
that?
It's the best thing in sport. It's the best thing in sport.
The only thing that I can equate it to, because you can almost feel the vibrations in the floor. I grew up, my childhood was in North Carolina, and I went to the ACC tournament at Cameron Indoor Stadium, Duke against Carolina.
Yeah, those
you
are
can
huge.
Feel
right.
the vibrations,
right.
and that's what a Hawks game is.
So good.
That's the equivalent to me, in my mind, because of where I grew up. It's like unbelievable.
Well, I can't wait. Season's here, and I can't wait to get out to the UC to see the games. And yeah, Mary, he was blown away by that.
Yeah, because some people are uncomfortable.
Well, it goes against the grain.
Right.
You obviously are
gotta
told,
get used to it.
You know, and that respect, and you take your hat off, and you don't say or talk or cheer during the anthem, and it's the exact opposite at the UC, but in a good way, in the only good way. And so there's something about it. He was blown away, not at all confused or anything. Just thought it was just such a powerful moment, and it's every single game when they're at the UC.
Oh man, it's actually a spiritual experience.
When we do the 16-inch softball Hall of Fame championship game coming up here on Monday,
are you equating
WGN Radio? I'm going to try to get that experience going at the Diamond. Get everybody
excited.
You're
going to have Jim Cornelissen.
Get Jim out. Get him to sing it and get everyone to cheer while he's doing it.
Is he in Prague, by the way?
Yeah.
I
don't think he's in Prague because I think this is
because they're not the home.
They're probably not the home team.
Yeah,
I don't know. They might be. Joe might know. Superdome. Are they the home team in this?
No, they're the away team.
Oh, okay,
away team.
So he's probably not singing.
So would you say it was Joe and Ingleside won the
Joyce
and Ingleside won
Yay,
tickets for the
Joyce.
Home opener coming up next
We're
Thursday.
So excited
Congrats,
for you.
Joyce! All right, we'll take a break here, and then we are going to come back. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Tiffany Luis is going to join us.
Oh yeah, she's a friend of mine, and she's fantastic.
All right, and then Marlon Wayans also in studio. All right, Steve Cochran Show rolling along here. Coming up, Tiffany Luis is going to be our guest. She's a friend of yours, G, right?
Absolutely, and she's a licensed social worker, and she's a professional coach. And I think if you're looking for a little help with directions and goals in your life, I think you should tune in.
I love it. Every day I wake up, you know this, at 6 o'clock, I get very excited. I say, come on, everybody, let's get motivated.
And then Dave and I look at you like,
you gonna get all excited?
You know, we're here every day. We're excited every day.
You actually said, I'm glad the lights aren't on a clapper because I was being so loud with my cheering.
I mean, you know, we're motivated.
All right, that's coming up right now in the 9 o'clock hour here on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It is the Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve, who's in Prague. You just heard him last hour checking in, telling him about all the good souvenirs he's buying for us and the goulash he's eating. Of course, coming up a little bit later in the show, Marlon Wayans will be in studio, and we say hi to everybody at CLTV who has joined us in the television broadcast. But Marlon Wayans coming up a little bit later, but first...
Yeah, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tiffany Luis. She's a licensed social worker, and she's also a professional coach, and she specializes in cognitive and behavioral change, and she coaches individuals and groups, and she speaks for corporations all over the country. And I just wanted Tiffany to elaborate a little bit on her qualifications, because I know there's a lot of people out there offering, you know, help and self-help and coaching, but she is legitimate. I mean, you've been working in this field for many years.
I have, and I feel so blessed to have done so. So I started out, I've been a therapist in some way, shape, or form for like 17 years. It's crazy. I started off working with children on the autism spectrum, learned a lot about behaviorism and like what motivates, what continues behaviors and what causes extinction. And then from there, I had a 10-year career in addiction, mental health, working with everything from eating disorders to anxiety disorders and depression. And so what I love about the work that I get to do now is that it's really based in some really strong clinical, you know, knowledge and education, but now I can bring it to the masses where it's not just behind closed doors right. in a confidential setting, and I can work with people in a variety of ways. So I don't do clinical work anymore in my practice, but a lot of what I do is influenced
by. Do you miss that? Do you miss the idea of that private setting as opposed to sort of doing motivation and therapy for the masses?
Well, I do have a private coaching practice. So I have a lot of people who I work with one-on-one. So I get that, like, itch scratched, if you know what I mean. I do miss I miss that work. Addiction is a beautiful business, life-changing business. I got to see such transformation that it's right. it's unreal to really think about what people can do in their lives. So I miss that, but I love what I'm doing now. I love the flexibility. I love the clients that I work with. So
speaking of transformations, over the years, I've been lucky enough to watch your own transformation mm-hmm. in your life. First of all, congratulations. You just wrote your very first book. It's a nifty 52-week guided journal to achieve your goals, and it's entitled This Year I Will, and it's dot, 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 a little ellipses there. Because it's a very handy, it's a book that you can carry around. It's not something huge. You can put it in your purse. You can put it in your backpack, whatever you want. And you can really work through it, and this will actually really help you. But before we get to what led you to the book, I want to talk about your transformation, because from all, you know, from people looking at you from the outside, which yes. is that's what's going on right now in our, especially in our social media world, mm-hmm. everyone would think that your life is perfect because yes. you had a successful career. You're stunningly, I mean, you're drop dead gorgeous. You're intelligent. It felt like you had it all. But in truth, you really didn't feel that way.
No, and I love that we're talking about this because perception is so powerful, but truly, I really have never met a person who doesn't have their own personal journey and struggle to overcome. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of our human curriculum, and we learn through those life experiences, and, you know, girl, I teach what I most needed to learn, so I'm not going to be the person who says, you, I say we. Because we, as a collective, have these experiences of struggle and hopefully triumph. And I really believe that whatever is placed before us can ultimately be the thing that is for our highest good. And I found that in my life, you know, growing up with a single mother and struggling with anxiety and working through relationship issues. I mean, you name it. We could talk all day about the things that I've overcome. But one thing, you know, I'm a student of what I teach. I've been in therapy since I was teeny, right? I now at this point, 37, I've been in therapy off and on for like 33 years. And I think it is one of the best investments. Coaching, therapy, you know, personal development work is one of the best developments or best investments we can make in our own development.
You've seen over time, and I think in 2019 more than ever, a destigmatization of therapy.
Yes.
In the way that it used to be. Even hearing you say, I've been in therapy, it almost has become something that you can see in the masses and in mainstream that people are doing it for just their own overall mental health, not necessarily just for drugs and alcohol or addiction or issues or whatever. There seems to be more of an emphasis on this as sort of your weekly or in some cases daily routine.
Isn't that amazing? And that's why I speak about it so much, to try to reduce that stigma. Like, I talk about going to therapy or doing a course or coaching the same way I would getting my hair done or like right. going to a workout class. And the more that we normalize it, the less fear hopefully there will be for people accessing it. And I love how far we come. We can always, you know, nudge that needle
more,
a little more. But I do think that from 20 years ago, it's remarkably different how present this is.
There was so much made yesterday because ESPN had was talking all about the football game that was last night. The Seattle Seahawks played the LA Rams. And it came out this week that Russell Wilson had talked about he has a mental coach. He has somebody that he meets, which mm-hmm. is a therapist, and he talks about it helps him focus on what he has to do to get his job done. And it was interesting to watch all the pundits talk about it because they you know, may not necessarily embrace the idea of therapy, but to see it applied to athletes and to sport and to mainstream sort of entertainment, it opened eyes.
Yes, and most teams have, you know, coaches, not just on the field, but, you know, emotionally, behaviorally. And truly, let's think about this, right? We have our own ability to see what we can see, and we bring someone in, a trusted confidant, someone who understands what our vision is and what our goals are, they're able to see things we can't. I always say my job is to be a mirror. I'm reflecting back what you're telling me what you want. I'm reflecting back what seems to be your barriers. I help people create a new narrative. They're doing the work, but I know the questions to ask.
Right.
And so, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. And anyone who wants to achieve excellence really is going to get those people in every area of their life.
And maybe you can't afford a one-on-one coach, but right, this is why when we come back, we're going to talk about absolutely Tiffany's book.
Let's talk about the book, This Year I Will, a 52-week guided journal to achieve your goals. Tiffany Louise is our guest in studio here on the Steve Cochran Show. We'll come back in just a sec.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Cochran Show continues. Justin Kaufman here for Steve. Tiffany Louise, our guest. She's the life coach, and she's the author of This Year I Will, a 52-week guided journal, to achieve your goals. First question out the gate, you see this, you know, talk of core values, yep, and that's a big part of what you're doing with the book and what you want people to recognize. Those are usually, when you hear core values, that those are things that businesses take on. When you have business plans and talking with just how you're going to grow as an entrepreneur, how do you make the transition to give it to someone to be a personal goal as opposed to a business goal?
It's a good question. So it's hard to hit a target that we haven't identified, and we can hit a target, but if we're doing it for the wrong reasons, we ultimately won't be fulfilled. So one of the things when we think about goals is why? What do you think you're going to achieve? Most of us want something because we believe when we get it, we will feel a certain way.
Right.
I get the job, I'm going to feel valuable. So when we deconstruct that and come back to the values first, we make sure we're actually trying to hit something that will fulfill us in the way we think it will, and we can have more clarity.
Right.
So what I really... taking that from the business model to the personal model, it's like we want to make sure that we're using our lives meaningfully. And if we're chasing things that end up leaving us feel, I always say it's like a leaky bucket, right? We get it and then it comes out just as fast as it came in. So values are so critical for us. What matters to you? Is it family? Is it people? And this is how we kind of butt up against our values. Say someone wants to run a marathon, but their biggest value is family. See the conflict there, right? They have to spend all this time running on the weekends outside of work, and it takes away from time with their kids. So they will be struggling to do that, but then they're beating themselves up not running. And that's how we get stuck.
This makes sense to me as to why so many people sometimes finally feel like they have the job or they have the partner they wanted in life, or they've made
happy,
the money,
right,
and they're still not happy.
Yes.
I know a lot of times people hear self-help and they immediately, their eyes start to glaze over. They're very doubtful and skeptical. Exactly, right? Please don't. But the point is, what do you see? What is the biggest mistake people are making in terms of actually living the life that they want and achieving their goals?
I think, one, they're lacking clarity. Two, once they get clear, they don't enlist the support. This is what we want to do. We might want to make it easier rather than harder. So say you want to shift a goal around your health. It's easier if you have a house full of healthy food and you have a workout schedule that you enjoy rather than you're forcing yourself to do. So I'm not a morning person, but trying to get yourself to the gym in the morning is so going to lead to us not being successful, or
right,
we do it for a little bit and then we stop and then we get into this shame cycle and then we get stuck. So what I find is that people aren't as clear in why they're doing it. And when they're connected to their why, it taps into a different level of motivation. And then from the why, you have to give yourself manageable steps to achieve. Like saying, hey, I'm going to be healthy this week.
Right.
What does that mean? How do you even hit that goal, right? And then the end of the week comes and they're like, I didn't do it. And then it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And then you order a giant deep dish pizza because you've already screwed up so badly.
Well, you mentioned the shame cycle. And I guess, you know, when you think about your life as both a therapist and a private coach, and you think about, even when it comes to addiction, you think about relapse.
Yep.
As G just kind of said about a big pizza, right? If you want to be healthy and you eat a big pizza, there has to be, I would assume, when you're chasing goals or you're trying to motivate yourself to stay on goal, what are the guidelines or the protocol for relapse, for or for letting yourself down, because it seems like that gets in the way. If I don't go to the gym and I said I should go to the gym, I start getting mad at myself, yeah, and the whole thing unravels.
Yes, that's a powerful question. And it really comes down to how we talk to ourselves. The only thing that we have control over is the stories that we tell ourselves, the way we choose to see the world. And part of what I do is help people create a kinder, gentler, more compassionate space within their own minds. So we can confront the pizza and we can tell ourselves a story that hurts, diminishes,
like,
shames.
I'm fat, I'm an idiot, what did you do? I hate myself.
Or we can say, the pizza was delicious, I enjoyed it, and maybe one piece or two pieces felt good, but after that, then I felt like I was numbing, so I'm going to get curious. This is what I always say. We get curious about people we care about, right? You love someone, you can tell they're off. What do?
I ask them.
How often do we do that with ourselves? This self-reflection is an act of love, and that simple act of stepping back and saying, sweetheart, what's going on with you? What was that about? Okay, let's unpack this. What happened with the pizza? Long day. And okay, now you eat the whole thing and you don't feel good. Okay, let's have compassion. That was your best effort to cope with what was happening at that time. Mm-hmm. What's the next step? We always are moving in the direction of the light. Shame is not a motivating energy.
You mentioned coping, which is also, when you think about the coping mechanisms in our life, there has to be some sort of active or proactive approach to replacing those coping mechanisms with good coping mechanisms.
Absolutely.
Right? That's really what this is about, that instead of going for that pizza, I go for something else. But it still has the same effect.
Yes. Well, you have the same effect that you're coping with the moment, but some coping mechanisms leave you with an end result you don't want, right? You coped with the moment, but then you have a negative after effect.
Right.
Versus a coping mechanism that adds value to your life, you leave that coping mechanism and you have not created more discomfort for yourself, right? So we are learning to replace. And the truth about behavior change is we think it takes, 30 days. It's actually, the research shows it's actually more about 66 days to create a new pattern.
Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. It's even longer than we thought. Is there hope for me?
There is. But in those beginning stages of change, you have to really make sure that you're reinforced, right? Until the new behavior becomes more of a groove. And then what ends up happening is we're reinforced by the good behavior instead, and that becomes the carrot dangling in front of us, right? So there's science and there's emotion, and it's...
So it's not an easy thing. So if someone's listening and they're beating themselves up, I mean, it's not easy to change your habits and to change your life.
And the compassion is the best place to start from. When we have compassion for the struggle, we are much more likely to choose a better action from that than we are when we are shaming ourselves.
How do we hold ourselves accountable? I'm thinking right now that I should just start on this journal because it's 52 weeks, 1 week per week.
That's why
by
I
week.
Like the journal. It's once a week. It's not like an everyday thing. And right. I think journaling every day is great. I have a daily journal too. But what the feedback that I'm getting from people, because this book has been out, not quite a year, is that this is my sacred time. Every week I create a ritual around it. I go to the coffee shop. I do it before the kids wake up in the morning. And it allows me to reflect what's occurred, what's coming in the week before. It's accountability. We need accountability if we want to change.
The book is called This Year I Will, a 52-week guided journal to achieve your goals. Tiffany Lewis is the author. She's a life coach. Tiffany, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in and sharing your story with us here on the Steve Cochran Show. Appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. Marlon Wayans is going to be in studio, so stay with us.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five.
All right, cut and print. Beautiful guys. Dynamite. That is...
It's Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and G is here, and Krizanich, and Mary Vandevelt, and the whole team. And Marlon Wayans is in studio this morning. He's going to be at the Chicago Improv this weekend, starting tonight. Marlon, great to see you. Thanks for coming in studio. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. Good to be here.
It is. Obviously,
y'all have a beautiful view.
It is nice, right?
Like, if I could rob you of anything, it'd be of your view.
I love the view.
I don't want your shirt. Your wallet is probably old and wrinkly, so I just want your view.
Yeah, I'm poor. I don't have any jewelry, so you're okay.
I don't want your purse. It doesn't go on my jacket.
There you go. How often do you get through town? How often do you play in Chicago?
I was just here about, I haven't played Chicago in a year, but I was just here promoting the movie Sextuplets. That was probably like 2 months ago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I'm actually here now doing stand-up comedy at the Improv, Chicago Improv, which is in Schaumburg. So I don't know why they call it the Chicago Improv when it's in Schaumburg. They should call it the Schaumburg Improv, and then they should build a Chicago Improv. But I'm not going to tell them what to do
with business advice. Yeah.
You have a prolific mind. I mean, you are coming out with new material all the time. How do you do this?
I get bored on stage doing the same thing over and over again. So I find myself rediscovering my set. Like, I walk it backwards. I always throw in something new. I have fun on stage. And then in terms of thinking about what my next special is, I scrap two different sets. Because I was like, that's not the next special I want to do. So I think the one I'm working on now is the next special I want to do. But talk to me 3 months from now. Right. Like, scrap that set. I want to do something different.
You do so much television and film work.
I got a lot of Negroes to take care of.
I was going
to
say, does that get in the way of being able to develop material for stand-up? Just the fact that you're constantly working on project after project?
If I was just doing stand-up comedy, I would excel at such a rapid pace. I'd be a monster. But because I have to split, you know, myself into three, because I got to write, produce my next, like right now I'm working on my next TV show and working on my next movie and writing both at the same time. And then on Thursday nights, I get on a plane and I fly to a city and I land Friday morning and I do press all morning, take a nap, hit the gym, do 2 to 3 shows, and then Saturday is like the first day I get sleep.
Wow.
And then normally I got 3 shows to do. Like tomorrow night, I added a show at the Chicago Improv, which is in Schaumburg, which should really be called the Schaumburg Improv. I added a 11 o'clock show.
This is a lot of work.
Life is work, so why not love what you do? When you love what you do, it's a lot of fun.
So is it really ultimately about the creativity? Or I mean, I guess I'm saying you've had longevity. You've seen the ups, you've seen the downs, but is it more about staying, you know, at the top of the game, or is it more just about you're going to put the creative, your creative energy and your work out there, and whether people get it or not, it doesn't matter?
I don't feel like I'm there yet. I feel like I have such a long way to go. I feel like I have so much more to offer. And I feel like the more I do stand-up, the better I get. It's like, you know, your body's an instrument. Your mind is an instrument. The more you work it, the better you get. And I feel like I'm just now hitting a great zone. I feel like I'm better today than I was 10 years ago, was 5 years ago. I'm the best I've ever been in this moment right now today. And I really feel like I have so much more I can do, and so much I can be so much better. So my next 10 years, 20 years, y'all gonna see some really dope projects. Well, they'll be dope to me.
Marlon, it's amazing because it's a golden age of television right now because of all the streaming services that you can work with, and you have had such a career before that even happened. You now have a good relationship with Netflix. Does that help you in the sense that there are more options and avenues for you to be able to be creative and find creative outlets because you have so many projects working?
Yeah, I think the more the need for content, the better. I love creating content, so you know the streamers are definitely, you know, a great place. Netflix is, I've had a tremendous success there, and you know they're everywhere, like 200 million homes in over 200 countries. But you know, there's a lot of streamers right now. It's, you know, from Disney to Warner Brothers about to launch there. So all these places is I've been, you know, hollering at me, so you know, I'm gonna land somewhere and just have a strict deal at one place.
You have done so much prolific work, and I think about all the people you've worked with, and beyond just your family, but others as well. I mean, the sitcom you just had, Marlon, Diallo Riddle was a writer on it. How important is
actually,
it?
Actually, he was a cast member.
Yeah, how important is it for you to work with other African-American talent and bring up new voices and names that are trying to get a shot?
I mean, I think it's important to just work with any up-and-coming talent of any, you know, any color. Of course, you know, I always look to, you know, help African Americans out because I know how hard it is, and minorities, I know how hard it is for them to get their shot. But you know, there's a lot of funny white guys out there, a lot of funny women out there. There's a lot of funny, you know, of different people. Funny is to me is it's its own race. So there is no real color in funny as long as it's funny. I miss dark humor. I miss edgy humor. I embrace it all. So for me, I just want to be able to express it all, too.
Yeah, Marlon Wayans in studio. He's at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg.
Which should be should in be. Chicago because it's called Chicago Improv.
He's got a slew of shows coming up here through Sunday. Marlon Wayans, our guest here on the Steve Cochran Show. Let's take a break and we'll continue the conversation with Marlon.
I call myself woke, but not all the way. I'm up, but I'm not. I'm woke-ish.
The Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman in for Steve today. Marlon Wayans in studio with us. He's going to be at the Chicago Improv through the 4th through the 6th today through Sunday. Always great to have you in Chicago.
Oh, great to be here.
I have to say, I am a
great to
I
be go, here in October.
Well, it's good to be
not
close, right?
January, yeah, right?
January, you can have this damn place.
You have had such a prolific career, and I think back, I was a big fan of the Wayans Brothers, the sitcom that really kind of, I think in a way, launched you because it changed the fact that you were one of the Wayans Brothers.
We
to, you
that.
Became Marlon Wayans, right?
No, it's funny. The name of the show was Wayans Brothers, so I was still a Wayans Brother back then. We created that show when we was like 19 and 20.
You were already doing the show.
Like, yeah, we lived the your, show yeah, for so many life. Years. But I didn't get to do Marlon until like, I was like 40, yeah. And then I started doing Marlon. Like the last 7 years have been Marlon.
So you do you feel like the Wayans brothers and the idea of being a part of such the royalty, comedy royalty, that's still a part of you, but now you're Marlon Wayans.
It's a gift, man. Like being a Wayans, I love being a Wayans. It's my tribe, but I think it's to be identified as just the Wayans for me. You know, I think. It's of course it's a compliment, right? But at the same time, being a Wayans, finding your own identity to me is really the artist's journey for us as individuals. So to be Marlon Wayans, for me to make Marlon mean as much as Wayans, to me that'll make me happy because Wayans is a legacy that we all contribute mm-hmm. to. Marlon is a journey that only involves Marlon. It's everything that I learned from Wayans now trying to apply as Marlon.
You know what?
You learn to fly on your own, and it's different than being in a nest with a bunch of birds that help you out.
The prevailing thought when you have famous brothers,
ooh,
right?
Big words.
Yeah, prevailing thought. So the notion that you have all this family and you're just it's in your blood. But the, people
he
don't
read
see
the all the beans.
Yes, he did. Really good at Scrabble.
People don't recognize the discipline that goes into that because you went to LaGuardia. You have been in the arts since you were 10 years old. This concept that you have really disciplined, you put together the skills. You're not just a Wayans brother.
This is like, people think like, yeah, I mean, it's not overnight. I've been like acting since like first grade. Like, that's just something I always wanted to do. Whether my brothers did this or not, it was something I always wanted to do. And then, you know, I went to Performing Arts High School. And then from Performing Arts High School, I went to Howard University for a year and a half to 2 years and learned more acting and communications. And then I went to L.A. and I started writing and producing and doing sketches. And this was great is over the past, me and Sean, when we first came out to L.A., my brothers were famous already.
Right.
But we were instant fame, which is very hard. My brothers had 20 years to figure themselves out as artists before they had their break, which was in Living Color. They had 20 years to nurture themselves. Me and Sean came out of high school or college and went straight to Living Color. And so what people have watched over the past 20 years was our progression to master the art of comedy. And now we're at a place where it's like, okay, I get it. So my best years are ahead of me.
Yeah. I love that. Look ahead, not behind you.
Yeah.
As a kid, though, you said you were already acting and performing. Was that because you wanted to stand out? Did you? Is that the way you got
attention?
It
wasn't professional. It was
right.
It was just like...
In the house, yeah, with the family.
I just had this passion. Me and Sean been writing sketches and characters since we was like 5 years old. My brothers would come home from California and be like, yo, we had this funny sketch based on these funny characters. Like, Deidre was dating this guy who had a loose eye and he uses big words. And his name is Antoine. And we would do these characters. And my brothers would be like, yo, these little guys are funny.
Do you still take advice from your family? And or do you miss that collaboration? How does that work now that you're trying to seek your own, you know,
I don't
destiny?
Look to them for approval or anymore or for notes, I realized that the only way for me to grow as an artist is to build my own instinct and remember all the things that they taught me. My brothers are in my head like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda. You know what I mean? And it's just like every now and then I'll do a joke that's I know is way over the top, and I'll hear Kenan going like Obi-Wan, I'm using too much force. That's gonna offend people in Colorado. Oh, I heard Damon going, that's not dark enough. You need to think darker. Think more evil. And I hear Sean just go, that's stupid. That's just stupid. Don't even think about that. That's stupid. So I hear them all. So it's about applying all that I've learned and knowing when to be appropriate and appropriate and choose which voice is the one that's going to guide me. But the most important voice I have to listen to is Marlon, because I'm an individual. I have different powers than all my brothers. We're all different. My superpower, I'm going to nurture my superpower, and I'm not going to ask questions.
So who are you in Star Wars?
Shoot, that's a tough one. Ask me a different movie.
Luke.
Pull that one up from the sky.
Okay, so the entertainment industry.
I'm Anakin.
There you go, Anakin. Mm-hmm. Turns into Darth Vader, but that's all right. Yeah. Just for all the fame that you've had, and you're looking
ahead. Sam Jackson. I don't know what it is, but he just has a lot of box office.
For you, you'll have success, and you'll have a sitcom like Marlon, and then after a couple seasons, it gets canceled.
Yeah.
And a movie that comes out, and it could be successful, could be not. How do you deal with the rejection? I mean, because you are a star, but at the same time, these projects are all 6 months or 8 months, or they kind of keep going. So how do you keep the mental place to say, I got to keep moving forward?
Because I don't do it for results. I'm not a home run hitter. I don't sit there and go, I'm going to knock this one out the park. I'm a guy that goes up to bat, swings. Yeah, I like the pitch. Pop. Oh, that was a double. Get to base. I know I got to bat up again. And I just stay up, just stay ready and keep batting. And one day I'll hit a single, a double, a triple, a bunt, and I'll have three men on base, and I'll crack a grand slam.
I love it.
But you just got to keep working. You don't know what work makes you better. And so I'm preparing myself for something. I don't know what, but I've been a star for 30 years. I've been so grateful to be able to be a star for 30 years, and I'm looking forward to superstardom for the next 30.
Marlon Wayans is going to be at the Chicago Improv coming up tonight through Sunday, and he's in town. Check out Sextuplets, which is also on Netflix. Great
Woke-ish
to see you.
On Netflix. Woke-ish. And Marlon, season 1 and 2 on Netflix.
There you go. Marlon, thanks so much for coming
You're
in.
Welcome.
I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate you, and good to see you again.
All right, coming up, the news is next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN. All right, Bill and Wendy are in studio. They're ready to take over. Hey, guys, ready for a Friday, Bill and Wendy?
Let's go Blackhawks.
Yeah. What do you guys got on the show today?
Well, my best friend in the world is Grant Mulvey, former Blackhawk great, so he'll be stopping by to give us a preview of today's game.
And Hawks tickets to give away.
Yeah, how about that? And you look good. You got the sweater on. You ready to rock,
Wendy? I'm ready.
Oh.
Let's do this.
I love it. Well, all right, that's going to do it for the Steve Cochran Show today. We'll be back on Monday. Steve is back on Tuesday. He's in Prague. Great working with you this week, G.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
Yes, and we'll see you on Monday. Of course, it's WGN Radio, and listen all day for Hawks home opener tickets that we're giving away here on 720. WGN.